W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Questions asked of the dozens of people called for jury duty in Donald Trump's first criminal trial. ABC's Aaron Katursky is covering it in Lower Manhattan.
The judge asking if they knew potential witnesses, a who's who of the Trump family, campaign, and administration. Melania Trump, Ivanka Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Hope Hicks, Michael Cohen. The judge then saying, raise your hand if you believe you cannot be fair and impartial. More than half of the first batch of 96 potential jurors raised their hand and were immediately dismissed. In the hallway, one heard saying, I just couldn't do it.
No potential jurors were picked on Monday. The Supreme Court today hears arguments on whether the law under which hundreds of January 6th protesters were charged and jailed. 140 people arrested across the country on Monday in connection with roads and bridges that were shut down by pro-Palestinian protesters. A Palestinian supporter who is also valedictorian of USC will not be allowed to speak this year. This is ABC News. An Ohio man facing murder charges accused of killing an Uber driver after they both were apparently caught up in a scam. Here's ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
81-year-old William Brock, now charged with murdering 61-year-old Lolita Hall. Police say Hall had been asked through the Uber app to pick up a package at Brock's home. Unaware, Brock had been getting threatening calls from the same scammers that ordered the Uber ride. Police say the scam involved one or multiple suspects claiming that one of Brock's relatives was in jail and needed money. That demand then leading to threats.
Police say Brock thought Hall was part of the scam. She was actually shot when they scuffled. The Indiana Fever doing what everybody expected, taking Iowa's Caitlin Clark number one in last night's WNBA draft.
I feel like I'm ready for a new challenge. I feel like college was obviously amazing, and you get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm ready for something new.
6'4", Cameron Brink going number two. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a four-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent, and I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to San Diego. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Padres played the Dodgers in L.A. on Sunday Night Baseball and didn't get into Milwaukee until Monday morning, yet they still managed to beat the Brewers 7-3 at AmFam Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You can give the Padres credit for taking that long trip and getting here at 6 in the morning and coming out with their A group, and yeah, we didn't put them away. We had a chance to put them away early, and we didn't, and it's credit to them.
Brewers pitcher Joe Ross.
I feel like I threw the ball well. If there was one pitch I would like to throw again, it's probably the last pitch. But otherwise, I felt good about how I was throwing the ball.
NBA, Doc Rivers is getting the Bucks ready for Sunday's playoff game against the Pacers. Does he know yet about the status of Giannis or some of their other injured players?
I literally don't know yet. Like, I'm going to watch film, and we'll get to it. And we will have a game plan, and we'll be ready when that day comes.
That's Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be windy and cooler today. A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase by later this afternoon. Our high 60, the wind east gusting to 35 today. More rain tonight into tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, right around 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
For the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here on 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. Nice morning out there. 47 in Oshkosh, 46 in Appleton, 44 in Green Bay. We've got a huge show for you, including this very special guest, Warren Gerds, longtime writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette and WFRV Channel 5. And he's got a great book called Golden Tales of a Newsman, of which there's a picture of Mr. Mayor here. In there.
Yes.
And you're in there too, Johnny, aren't you? There's some reference to you in there.
Yeah, there's a picture, though. There's a picture of you. He asked me, I said, I think you were getting an award. What award was it? Which award was it?
I do have a picture of, I searched and searched. It's you interviewing McCarthy.
Oh, no kidding.
Following the Super Bowl.
Yes. Oh, wow. No kidding. I'll be darned. Yeah. But he was long and lean and mean back then with really dark hair, wasn't he? Well, Warren, let's talk a little bit more about your incredible career.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the Summerfest grounds. People are familiar with that. It's famous. All the big stars come there over sometime or another. And I used to drive past that location every day because I lived on the south side of Milwaukee and went to the north side of Milwaukee to go to UWM, where I got my degree in journalism.
And ran track.
So on that location, there were Nike missiles pointed to the sky because it was the Cold War and they were a defense mechanism against the Russians.
At the fairgrounds?
Really?
No, not the fairgrounds.
I mean, the Summerfest
grounds. Wow. They were lined up one after the other, pointing to the sky.
Wow. Different era.
So things are tough now. Well, look at that.
Wow.
Right.
Wow, that's well, go ahead. Cool. You guys probably worked this exact same gigs when you're running the lighting at the Carlton and you were reviewing a show.
What a fortunate time for us to have the Carlton West, right?
Oh, yes, correct.
I mean, to bring that top name entertainment, you know, just Jerry Lee Lewis, just one after another. And I did the lighting. You, of course, did the reviews. I had to see every show every night. You just came to one or two and wrote your reviews.
Right.
Which is great. Did you find those people kind, or is there any, you don't throw anybody under the bus, but like, I just think like someone like the Mills brothers who were in Green Bay, how many times were they here? Like four or five? They were here a lot.
Correct.
The Letterman. I mean, those,
Right.
How are they to you kind of guy? Because you can kind of make
Well, they were nice to me because I'm from the press and I'm writing about them. They're not going to throw me under the wheels of a car. I've only had one bad experience trying to do an interview over the phone with a rock and roll person, and he
was not nice.
We didn't get along, and I said thank you, and that was good.
Did you enjoy the Oak Ridge Boys? Where I think of the people
they were really appreciative of Green Bay because it was their way of getting out of the South.
Right.
And breaking through, finding out that they had a crowd, a following elsewhere.
Very. And a very loyal crowd, a very appreciative crowd.
Also nice guys.
They were super nice guys.
Each one of them along the way wanted to talk to me each time they came around to do an interview.
Yeah.
Well, plus, though, I mean, that's how they got their word out, was from local writers like yourself.
Right, right. That's
Bob Hope. He would call me up.
No. Oh, my God.
So I'm on the other side of the newsroom one day. Hey, Warren, Bob Hope is on the line.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty cool. And then you, besides, I mean, that's very professional entertainment.
Oh, I got to say one quick thing. It's funny, you just mentioned that, and I thought, who else just mentioned Bob Hope? John Anderson from Green Bay at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his show the other day, talking about he saw Bob Hope perform at Lambeau Field in 1976.
That's
right.
Memorial Day.
Okay.
And of all the, it was Memorial Day, it was a special Memorial Day because it was the 70s.
Bicentennial.
Right, bicentennial. And of all the places that Bob Hope could have played around the country, he was playing in Green Bay at Lambeau Field.
That's awesome.
Wow. So, Warren, besides the professional side of it, you delved into local theater, high school.
I started reviewing high school because that was about the only thing at the time. There wasn't very much. There was no music theater at St. Norbert College was starting out. And that was really the only game in town as far as seeing musicals. There was no traveling musicals coming through to speak of.
And Dudley took that to a whole new level, right? Dudley Burger then?
Correct.
Well, and now you've got Franks, you've got Daddy D, you've got Evergreen.
What's the one? Talking about Tish Mills. Is that still going? Is it Tish Mills?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Go ahead.
So you got into that, I don't see that level, but I mean, that has really grown, right? I mean, you look at the years you've been at
I was working for WFRV, my domain was the 75-mile radius of the station. So one night it could be in Fond du Lac, the next night up in Door County. And so there's like 120 venues that I covered performances in. Mm-hmm. And that tells you something about what's going on in the community as far as performances. All these, and it's important for a lot of people in these communities. It's a source of pride. And the different communities also have their performing arts center. And those performing arts centers are sources of pride for each community. Right. Sheboygan, Manitowoc.
Absolutely.
I think that's so important for young kids.
And it
for
is
the confidence factor and things like that.
I think sometimes people think of sports. Mm-hmm. And you really elevated the whole arts, you know, visual, the theater, the music. And I think that's great. I think that's great for kids. Like Johnny was just saying, I think it's those are life skills that they're learning up on stage. You did kind of draw the line a little bit, though. You reviewed high school, but you didn't review, like, young kids.
Not middle school. You know, you called me up the one day. His daughter was.
My daughter.
Oh, that's right. It's in the book.
My daughter was Annie and Annie. Mm. And I said, Warren, you got to go see that. He goes, I don't do little kids. I suppose you could hurt them if it was a bad review. So
no,
there
wouldn't
best.
Be bad reviews. It would just be describing what was going on. And
I always read your reviews. And they were very, you know, admittedly, they were a little bit more, you were pretty kind. You didn't try and take anybody down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was that,
Forest Inn in Tish Mills.
That's the Forest Inn. That's right. So is there a favorite venue that you like to cover? I mean, do you enjoy music over just the non-musical theater, or did you like individuals? Did you like the professional? What's something that, like, you wake up and say, man, I can't wait to see this?
Being surprised or being it's one of my shows that I really liked was – that's so many.
I've
only seen 8,000 of them.
The story of Helen Keller.
Oh,
It was
Miracle Worker.
Miracle Worker. It was at Manitowoc.
Capitol.
Capitol Theater, right. Helen Keller was played by a student of the teacher. and the teacher was a teacher, and the student was her student.
Oh, and they, in real life.
And,
wow.
And the teacher performed in such a way that she was more knowledgeable and credible than any professional actor could do.
Right. Really?
Because she tuned in to
what
everything.
She did. Yeah. And, can I tell you something ironic? Something very ironic. I told you I was actor of the year one time, right?
Oh my God.
Junior
like
college.
Eight people in the school, but yeah, he was. He's got a certificate. It's here somewhere. He'll show it. Okay.
When I was at ASU, I was in the Miracle Worker.
Really?
Yeah. But I'll never forget this. Student newspaper does review on it.
Yes.
From the opening line delivered by John Minow, I had a feeling this wasn't going to be a good night at the such and such theater. Swear to God, yeah, I've got one bad review in my lifetime, and it was Miracle Worker. And I still remember my opening line, the opening line of the thing.
That
she'll live. I had to do a southern accent. Oh, thank God, doctor. Yes, honest to God, the miracle. So you bring back some bad memories right
now.
Yeah,
and that's why I was kind of asking, Warren, did he, you know, were you, I don't remember reading, I don't think anything, but maybe there was some where you were really critical. You just don't see
more. And at the beginning of my reviewing, there would be letters when they had a letters column in the paper, it'd be people taking off after me. Some of it was like, I did an interview with Dolly Parton.
Yes.
She was she was an opening act.
Yeah.
And, wow.
And were you sitting like this far away from her?
Right across.
Dresser, yeah.
And she was an opening act for Mac Davis. And then a woman called me up the next day. What in the world are you interviewing that for first person for? Mac Davis is a bigger star. Well, he wasn't available at what I needed to do the interview.
Right.
Also,
exactly.
But also, I was attuned to her from watching her with Porter Wagner on television and her singing, and it resonated with me. And it was really interesting because in that interview, she told me a guy in Green Bay, Wisconsin, all kinds of plans that she had, and they all came true. And it's in the book.
You know, and I still remember that, though, too, because weren't you a little nervous just sitting there talking to her, kind of? She was...
Well, I had to...
Keep your eyes up.
Look in her eye. Straight across the table.
Got to ask you this, though, because he's bugging you all during our breaks here about Liberace. Give him a couple of minutes on Liberace, please.
I just think Warren, I just want to say, like I told you during the break, we talk about, I would like to get a Wisconsin Music Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have, obviously, sports, and we've got some other things, and Johnny's going to want to do a veteran one, but... I mean, you've studied this stuff for 40 years. Would you agree that Liberace is probably one of the best entertainers that's come out of the state?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And especially because he had a widespread audience all over creation. At one point, he was the highest grossing entertainer at Radio City Music Hall. And that happened after his episode with carbon tetrachloride in his...
I told these guys that story where the Kennedy assassination basically saved his life.
That's right.
Yeah. This is an amazing story. Can we tell that when we come back?
Okay.
Okay. This is, honest to God, this is unbelievable.
It is a good story.
You won't believe this. The assassination saved his life in a bizarre way. Jolene. All right, we got Warren Gertz is with us. Stick around.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pumping your tires, checking your brakes. Part of the list to get your bicycle rider ready. But don't forget to ride safe, too. Here's Green Bay biking expert Peter Flukie.
But what we forget about is that there are people out there walking, there are people out there biking. But because we didn't say to ourselves, where are those folks? You need to be looking and searching for those because it's a shared responsibility.
Flukie says responsibility includes obeying the rules of the road. But did you know bikes are equal to anything else on the road? It's true. By the way, the Green Bay area earned a bronze level, which is basically third place for being a bike-friendly community. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, Tuesday morning. Great time here with Warren Gertz, Golden Tales of a Newsman. It's a great book. You got to get it, Jim. You will appreciate so many of these things that you will relate to. You won't believe it.
I love this stuff. And I've known Warren and read his articles in the Press Gazette for years and years and years because I do like theater. And Warren, you were very positive.
Wait a minute, we got to get to this story.
But I want to hear about your guy, Liberace. I want to hear about Liberace because I'm a fan of his.
He's unbelievable, Liberace. But go ahead.
I am.
This story will fascinate him.
Okay. So, Liberace's in Pittsburgh, and he's taking a nap in his dressing room. And the day before, his costuming it was sent out for cleaning, and they used carbon tetrachloride at the time, which is noxious, poisonous. And John Kennedy was assassinated. Liberace's manager comes into the dressing room and wakes up Liberace to tell him that Kennedy was killed, and he notices the odor in the room, and he hauls Liberace out, and he was overcome by it, and he had fallen asleep. He still went on and performed kind of that afternoon, but then he went to the hospital, and he was really in bad shape for a long time. And along the way, he asked the doctor, when I'm going to get out, and the doctor said, put your life in order. You're not going to be leaving here. And so he liquidated all kinds of stuff and gave his mother a real mink coat and real diamonds instead of the costume stuff. And then along toward Christmas, he came around and he recovered. And along the way, I asked him, did you learn anything from having been so close to death? He said, yes. Work less and charge more. And he went on the next year to play in Music City Radio City Music Hall in New York City and became the highest paid entertainer.
But if that manager hadn't woken him up,
he would have been dead.
He would have been dead.
Right.
Wow. Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
And weren't you asking like famous people where they were when Kennedy was to say, and that's just how you got around to that subject, right?
I was going to ask a lot of different people. He was my first guy, and it's so,
it's just like unbelievable. Can't top that one.
No.
Wow.
Carlton, then we can move on from there, but did you have a favorite? I mean, I saw like, I think everything there, but did you have a favorite entertainer? I mean, you got to be a little bit careful because you're a critic, but.
I mean, like saying like Bill Cosby?
I saw him. He was funny.
And he was.
And was Bob Hope.
Was there for three nights, two shows a day. I saw him like on the first night. And then when I returned later on for another show, waitress said that he had a different act every night. Every show was different than the last.
Wow.
Night. Yeah. He would get up there and just had no notes and not that they bring notes, but he was just off. He just sat up there and talked, and that guy was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys, you interrupt them, they'd have to start over. Their show is so canned, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, but I don't think he was in love with Green Bay though. What did he say to you about it? Well, maybe I won't talk about him. Oh,
hey, didn't you have one time when, I'm getting a mental, Loretta Lynn. Didn't she call you and complain about the article or something?
Correct.
Tell that story.
Well, she was on a little on in time, and the voice wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And if you mention it, It's very sensitive. Yep. Pat Boone was also
sensitive.
Sensitive too.
Wow. And you would actually take those phone calls in the newsroom the next day,
right,
huh?
Right.
Wow.
Pat Boone was there a while. I mean, he was there a number of times, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's that son.
What about in TV over the years, Warren? Right. It's changed so much. Actually, I was on the phone with Ted Stefaniak last night. We were talking about that. And it's like, he would not want to be getting into that business now.
Well, here's the story.
That's
recent. It kind of tells you something about the history of television. The fellow who does our repair work for us in our house, whenever we have a need, we give him a call. Mm-hmm. He sent a photo of, he was working in a crawl space of a house and found an folded article that I had written from 1976. Somebody had saved it. And it was a review of a series that was going to be on Channel 11. It was a 42-part series, British series, and they were going to run this. This is what they did at the time. They paid for this series. This is 1976. And, okay, this is before cable television.
Yeah.
So there was like
three stations.
Yep. No, there were four stations, including
P&E? Yeah, public.
So, public. And that was about it. And that was it. And they would even go out and buy stuff from England on top of it.
Did you see it coming? TV going the way to, and newspaper, of course, too. We could talk about that. I mean, you've been so ingrained in it. Did you have warning signs? I mean, not that it's bad, but it's just different. The one thing that I've noticed, too, like when I started here, we had some reporters. I'm like Glenn Lloyd and Ray Wheeler. I mean, people that were here for 20 years.
Right.
And now these, you know, I do stuff for 26 still, you know, high school football games. And every year they'll have these reporters and they're brand new every single year. It's crazy.
Well, no, it was kind of a.
Yeah, but people used to make Green Bay more of their, you know.
And then the anchor people would be around for a long time.
You always got a kick. I like this story about riding the elephant and how love him or hate him or whatever news anchor. Boy, they got attention from people, didn't they?
Yes, they did, because they were the stars of the city or the area.
Yeah. So, Warren, do you review the theater. Do you review books? Book reviews, because Johnny just gave you one of his books. I want to see the review tomorrow.
When I was working, started working, I was doing mostly editing and then occasional reviews, and I would review books just to have the opportunity to write.
Oh, so cool.
Aren't you impressed by the theater, the authors locally?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have them on once in a while, especially on Fridays. We try to focus
a little
bit more
authors on,
but it's amazing the talent in this here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It's getting easier for them to get their books printed too.
Yeah.
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 Most of my books are printed in town. Where do you go?
Seaway.
Seaway.
Yeah.
So Warren, we have some youth that listens to us. I teach at TC, and my students, they need to listen here to get extra credit. But if someone wants to...
True story.
It kind of is. John interviewed a couple of them when I was gone one time they came in. But if someone wants to be a Warren Gerds, like, what's a career path for that? Oh, we got 1 minute here.
You have to be crazy. Did a year-end story one time about the shows that were my favorites at WFRB. And Shelley Botot said at the end that I saw more plays in a year than she has seen in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
175.
Unbelievable. Well, Warren Gerds, boy, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Okay.
This is great. I love your book, Golden Tales of a Newsman.
We have to say hello to Lisa Mitchell at Boston. She's one of your listeners.
Lisa is one of my favorite people in the world.
There you go.
And I miss them not being downtown. Okay. Although the place in De Pere is really cool. It's a really nice place.
But we miss her downtown.
Yes,
she and her dad were awesome,
love them
awesome
all.
People.
Absolutely. Warren Gerds, thank you so much.
Thanks, okay, Warren.
And for all you've done for the community over the years.
Thank you.
And your book is there. It's at Boston's.
Right, it is.
All right, cool.
Outstanding. We're going to take a quick break. Back with Gizmon Crew.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app? Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
2024 looks like it's going to be a good year for members of the Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors, WAMP for short. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's the impression from Jake Saylor, outgoing president of WAMP. He owns and operates Saylor's Meats in Elmwood, Wisconsin, and said they're getting ready to launch a meat map to help promote their members across the state. And their membership, by the way, some of the strongest in the nation.
I truthfully don't know if we're still the biggest or the most in the country. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin kind of go back and forth. But in Wisconsin, we have over 500 USDA state-inspected and custom-exempt plants in the state of Wisconsin. That's a lot of family businesses producing a lot of meat. And for the consumer, for the mom and dad farms, and for those that are direct marketing and private labeling their farm products, it's amazing how many there are in the state of Wisconsin.
Jake Saylor, he's the outgoing president of the Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors, or WAMP. He's also an operator himself for Saylor's Meats in Elmwood, Wisconsin. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, more red ink, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average coming along for the ride. Numbers are next.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Yesterday, no change on barrel cheese or AA butter. The 40-pound block cheese gained 3.25 cents at 156.75. This morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 30 points right now. December corn unchanged at 4.68. November soybeans down a penny at 11.66. July wheat up a penny at 5.68. The Class 3 milk for May is up 14 cents. Right now, it's $17. The June contract up 8, 17.32 a hundredweight. Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says as of Sunday, we had 10% of our oats in Wisconsin already planted, and 11% of our potatoes were already in the ground as of Sunday. There's a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It is going to be windy and cooler today. A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase by later this afternoon. Our high 60, the wind east gusting to 35 today. More rain tonight into tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, right around 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Can't get enough of Mino and the Mayor? You can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Very special thanks to Warren Gerds, legendary writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette and, of course, WFRV Channel 5 for their websites. And he's one of those guys, you just throw out names, right, anybody in the in the industry over the years, and he's got a story about him. And but isn't that fascinating about Liberace? Isn't that amazing?
I didn't hear that story, and I kind of follow him a little bit.
Thank goodness I was here for you.
Yes,
you thought you knew everything there was to know about Liberace. You were wrong.
Once again, you bailed me out.
Hi, Gizmo.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
You guys, thanks. So it's kind of fitting that you follow Warren Gerds, who is the critic here in 40 years and speaks very, very highly of the talent in this community. And then you come in, and we have more talent in this studio tonight, today. Population 485, that's an Evergreen production?
Correct.
Introduce everybody, Gizmo, first of all.
Well, thanks for having us here today. You know, we always appreciate you, giving us some time to talk about Evergreen. You know, I love being a part of that. Today, I actually brought with me the director and the narrator of a show coming up called Population 485. It's a true story. I'll let them guys tell you about it. I just want to, again, say thanks for having us here. So I'm going to let these guys take over and let them talk a little bit about the show and a little bit about what it means to the community and that kind of thing.
Right. Sounds great.
Let's hear it.
My name is Sarah Yock, and I'm the director of Population 45. We're doing it for Evergreen Productions. Mm-hmm. And the story is really about, it's by a man named Michael Perry. And Michael Perry is a local author to Wisconsin. He lives over in New Auburn, Wisconsin, over by Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area. And he wrote a book called Population 485. And this play is based off the book. And what he did was he grew up in the small town of New Auburn.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Was he a firefighter, paramedic?
I'm getting there. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
I've read his stuff.
Yeah.
Tremendous author.
Absolutely, yes. Same
guy. This is going to sound weird, but it's like over the years I've thought, who was that author again? Because this is fascinating. I love him as an author. Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah. He wrote the book, Population 45. So what he did was he went to school. He got a nursing degree. He moved out of the small town of New Auburn. He comes back 12 years later and joins the volunteer fire department.
Yeah.
So the book, and now the play, is about his stories and meeting his neighbors. The tagline is One Siren at a Time. So it's a comedy. It's serious. It's funny. The play itself runs the gamut of emotions, and it's all true. It's a true story. And we have Lyle Becker here, and he plays the Michael Perry character, the narrator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just pushed this over for me to talk.
Yes, there you go.
No, it's a wonderful show, and I've been doing theater for like 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you start a show, even before you see it, you see the director and the script and the cast, and you think, oh, this is going to be special. And that's the feeling where I'm getting doing this show. It's like, it's a well-written, as you know, Michael writes.
Yes, tremendous writer.
The cast is so perfectly cast, and they're all working their butts off.
Is he going to be here?
Schedule doesn't allow it.
Okay. Does he have any more books out? Do you know?
Tons of
books. Okay, I will read everything he puts out.
Do that.
I believe the new book that he just put out is called 40 Acres Deep. Okay. And I think it's a lot, I haven't read it, but it's a lot more serious than a lot of his other stuff. But he does have a new book out that he just recently put out.
I just think he did such an amazing job of capturing a small town, but scars and all of small towns.
Exactly.
Right. And I think the audience, you can relate to that because, I mean, you know, we got, you know, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay. But after that, there's a whole bunch of small towns in Wisconsin.
Right. If you've ever lived in a small town or you've wondered what it's like, this is it. This is Red Granite. This is Wild Rose.
Right.
This is Alloway. I mean,
And they have their stories.
Absolutely.
And there's some comedy in this, too?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. I mean, I love that. And it's May 3rd. Opens up at St. Norbert.
Yeah, May 3rd and that weekend and the next weekend.
Okay, great.
Get your tickets now. We need people to come to support local theater.
What a great place what a great venue, that Webb Theater.
Oh, it's
wonderful.
I've
seen Gizmo there with the Gilligans. I've seen many, my kids were in theater, so I went there all the time.
I know that.
You were in a couple things with them. But it's just, there's just not a bad seat. It's just, and that's what I love about the Webb Theater.
And you're right up close to it.
Right. And you can really feel your emotions on there, and I think you probably get a lot of reaction from the audience,
Absolutely.
Too. That's got to be a cool place to perform.
Oh, it's wonderful. Once you get used to it, because the people are very close.
how did you guys decide to do a play on this book?
What Evergreen does is they have a committee that decides the season before what they're going to do. And this was one of the plays that the play selection committee had chosen to do for this this last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, every year they get together and they try to increase the interest, if you will, by bringing great stories. And every year over the past, I'd say 5 or 6 years now, they've added some great, great shows that they haven't in the past. I think some of them, they maybe take a risk because they're a little bit more serious or they're a little bit more you know, involved. But every time it pays off, man. These shows are just great, and they always manage to find great directors, great cast, and everything.
Well, you know, Warren was talking about this earlier, where he talked about how the change in community theater in the years that he's been covering this community, how many more opportunities there are for people. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's like all of a sudden we've had this huge birth of great talent. I think the great talent was probably always here, just didn't have the venue, the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. You would get one time. Now you could go to a number of different theaters all over. You could be busy all the time.
Exactly.
And Michael, you must take some pride in you've got some young kids that got engaged in theater because of your efforts, and it's nice to see them. That's a life skill, for one. I mean, they're not afraid to stand up in front of their class and talk about whatever science project.
Absolutely.
And community theaters, that's a great outlet for people.
It is. And so you don't always have to be on stage. We get to stand on stage and do our thing, but the people behind you are just so talented and so passionate. It's you build a family. You really do.
Yeah. And one thing I always liked about theater, and I want to talk more about your play, but it's not cliquey. You guys were nice to the young kids, and the teenagers were nice to. I always liked the family's a good word for that. And then you go out. Of course, the only problem with you guys is that us parents who worked regular hours after the theater, Johnny, they were so wound up. And we'd go out for pizza.
Oh,
they're bouncing off the walls at 11 o'clock, and I want to go to bed. But anyway, it's
a high.
It's a great environment.
It's a
high.
It's a rush.
It's a rush.
And it's contagious to those other kids.
No question.
And I just think,
I still think that's one of the greatest things. Whenever I speak to classes, high school classes or anything, and they say, oh, I want to be on TV or I want to be. Get involved in anything that brings you out of your comfort zone.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep. Get out of your comfort zone. Yep. Don't worry about speech class and being nervous. Don't worry about – and I think theater does that better than anybody or any type of preparation.
Amen. Yeah. And not against sports, but theater, everybody plays.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's nobody sitting on the sidelines waiting for their turn to get called in.
Yeah.
They've got something to do.
Although I tried out for a Shakespeare play one time.
Oh, God, John.
12th night. Okay.
Ooh. And?
Well, you know, you go, you look at the sheet then, or, you know, all different parts.
Yeah.
And I literally was going to carry a spear. You know how they say in theater? It's like the lowest job there is. He's just carries a spear in the backstages of the Shakespeare.
Spear holder.
Spear holder. Right. I was like spear holder too.
There are no small parts.
Right. Thank you. Here we are 40 years
and
later.
And I could do Shakespeare.
You know,
I could do Shakespeare.
All right. We're here with some really talented people, Johnny. Let them talk.
Okay. Can I just say one thing?
Say it.
Can I? Yes or no?
Yes, go ahead.
How like a winter is my life with thou away, the pleasure of the fleeting, the freezing I have felt.
He's waited so long.
I know, right?
Yes, he has, finally.
The one sonnet I memorized.
We are merely players, performers, and portrayers.
Very good. Got this one. I'm a big fan, text here. I'm a big fan of Michael Perry and have seen him in person several times. Yeah. Have our tickets for Population 45. John, you have to read 40 Acres Deep.
You do.
Is that the library here? Do you know?
It's his latest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's his latest book. I'm sure you can get it anywhere.
I got to find these. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Sarah, tell me a little bit more about you. Everybody knows Michael because he's been in theater and stage.
Yeah, everybody knows me.
And Gizmo, but here, tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, I went to school. My first bachelor's degree, I went to UW-Eau Claire, so in the area of New Auburn. And I got a bachelor's degree in arts with an emphasis on theater.
Nice.
I went back to school and got a teaching certification and then lived my life for a while. And then I went back to school again, got a job as a respiratory therapist. And I moonlight as a theater director on the side, I guess. So I've done a few shows with Evergreen. A few years ago, I did It's a Wonderful Life. Now I'm back again with Population 45.
Who were you in It's a Wonderful Life?
I directed It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, you directed it. Cool.
I directed it, yeah.
So you probably don't remember, but she was actually here before when we were doing Dead Celebrity Monologues.
Oh,
when I was doing
the
Willard Bent character.
Right. Nice.
Yeah. She was directing that. She was the director of that show.
Cool. I can play one part in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah?
Which one?
The guy that runs the bar.
Oh, yeah.
I think you told me that before.
We serve hard drinks for guys who want to get drunk fast. That would be my only line.
Yeah. You'd be good at it, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Coming from a professional, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You should come out and audition for one of these shows.
I might.
That would be great.
I might.
Yeah.
That would be great.
What do you think about that, Jim?
We worry about people like you getting on stage because, as Michael was saying, it's a team, it's a family, and you would do things to
you don't know
take
that.
The spotlight. Yeah, you don't know, I do that. Know that.
By the way,
don't
Jim, know that. His name is Lyle.
Yeah, you didn't call him
Michael. I'm playing Michael, though, so that works.
I was trying to promote the show. That's why
I knew. He was in character already. Yeah. Jim was in character.
Jim, you're so kind.
Doing a read through.
That's right.
Call everybody by their characters' names, people. Let's go. Right,
I didn't want to pick on Jim too much because I know you guys give him a pretty hard time here in the morning.
Who does?
You do.
Oh.
It starts at 5:30.
Look at Todd. Todd's even like, what? Us to him versus him towards us. Oh, my God.
Sometimes I look at the clock. Is that working? Is it moving? 7:40. What? Okay.
Oh, no, you guys are so much fun. I love your show, and thank you so much for having us here today.
We really like to support the arts. I mean, you know, we believe in it, and we just think there's a plethora of talent out there.
Hey, let's try a magic trick. You guys ready?
Sure.
Think of a number between 1 and 4. You're thinking of this number. Am I correct?
Yes.
Did you? Who out there was thinking of 3? Oh, Todd's a two. Todd's a 2 guy. Okay, that figures. No, I'm just kidding. 3. I have no idea.
Lyle, what did you have?
I was on 2.
Oh, okay. Was that 2? All right.
You answered it too quick. I had to like.
Yeah, that's the idea. You got to top of the mind. Right?
I was still thinking.
Hey, you know, another thing that Warren was talking about though too is as far as the opportunity for some places, you know, new opportunity. But on the flip side, I think it's awesome, and I've never been there, but I've driven past it at times. The place in Tisch Mills. I love that these really small communities have something that has such tradition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so many of the theaters, you got community theater, you got Tisch Mills, are unique places in themselves.
Exactly.
The building is part of the whole ambiance of the show itself, and it's really fun to be a part of that.
I think that's cool.
It is. It's awesome.
And Lyle, we in this community, like we talk, there's a lot of sports opportunities, but these high school plays have really gotten good. Like I was in high school plays, and we were not nearly as good as these kids. And but
Ron Colley had a theater department.
We did. Oh yeah, we did do theater. But we, but you look at Preble, 2,000 kids. You get the lead there. You're pretty good. I mean, that's as big as St. Norbert. I mean,
yeah.
But I will say that at Southwest, I just really think they've stepped up their game out there. They've got an awesome director out there. And what I like about what he's doing out there is, like, sometimes theater was for certain kids and sports were for other. They get a lot of mix of both. He said, look, you know, I haven't missed a play there in years and years.
That's awesome.
And theater's affordable, you know? I don't know how much your tickets are for $4.85.
Very affordable, yeah.
Right.
In the kids show that I'm going to be, I'm actually stage managing James and the Giant Peach. Give a little shout out for that. That's going to be running at the end of April, the last weekend in April. And the tickets are very affordable for that. Those are even less expensive than the adult shows, but they're very affordable, and it's a great show. We've got the great little cast. That'll be at the web.
Okay, give me that, because that's coming up.
That's coming up the April 23rd, I think. It's that last weekend in April there. It only runs one weekend. Kids shows typically only run one weekend. It's such a fun show. We got a great little cast. We got a great director. We got a great little bit of fun going on.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Love it. Love it.
We're going to try to bring the smell of peaches into the theater for that one.
Oh,
yeah, I know, right? Okay. A nice little added touch.
Tickets now.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what's your background? How'd you get involved in theater and stuff like this and just being a creative person? I mean, there's that left brain, right brain thing, and I'm sure yours is, you know, heavily on the entertainment and, you know, things like that.
Creativity.
I could go back to 4 years old singing in front of the church when they had hymn night, but high school. Annie, Get Your Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Started out with that in 1974 and just been going ever since.
Where'd you go to high school?
Watoma High School.
Oh, Watoma. Okay.
Grew up in Red Granite, Little Red Granite.
Sure. Nice. How about yourself? How'd you just get involved? You know, was it that spark always there?
I went to Oconee Falls High School, and when I was in high school, my high school didn't have a theater department. But I remember when my life, I guess, sort of changed. My mom brought me to the Widener Center way back when it first opened, and Phantom of the Opera was there.
Oh!
That was my first. I was in high school, and that was my first professional thing, and that hooked me.
It was the first time you go to a theater like that. Though, it is magical, isn't it?
It absolutely
especially being
is.
From kind of a small town.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we got to give these teachers credit for getting kids to get that, because it's in the kid to get that out. And we're out of time.
By the way, did you guys stick around for a minute?
I get a $10 fine if I go over.
One of my old guys from my hometown might have been one of your teachers. Do you know Al Peruco?
I do.
You know Al?
He's
the guy. He's a business teacher.
He was. Yep, quick break. He was business.
Back right. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
American woman. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here at Tuesday morning. We got Gizmo from the Evergreen Theater, The Haunting of Hill House. We've got Sarah Yock. Super. And Lyle Becker, narrator of the show. Tell us a little bit about your gig there, big fella.
Well, just to stop you there, we mentioned The Haunting of Hill House. That's actually coming up next season. And we're trying to promote Pop 45 here today.
Sorry.
I know. I'm such a guy, right?
But let me ask you one more question, if I may, about this. So the Population 45. This Michael Perry. Okay, like I said, I just stumbled upon him somehow, some way, and then until you guys were talking about this, it's like, why do I know that town? Where do I know that thing? For somebody like that, how is it taking a book about a local community and somehow transferring that to a stage?
It's fascinating, okay. Really, because you're talking about, actually, he wrote about real people.
Real, that's not, what I'm getting at, yes.
And so one of the things he pushes really quickly is you're not acting, you're not creating these weird characters, you're being real people,
you're representing that person with that name.
I've read Michael forever. I found Population 45 8 years ago and been pushing for it ever since, and part of what he does is he cuts right to the bone of real life,
yes,
of real emotions,
yes,
and so you got to find that and just share that as honestly as you can.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know what I think about it, I want to encourage people to get into theater. You can still try out, right? I mean, you have
absolutely,
with all the plays coming up and the tryouts, and I know you worked with my daughter in
Seussical.
In Seussical.
Yes.
And so she's really gone on to do quite well. She's a doctor, lives in New York. She still tries out for stuff because if she got the part, she couldn't take it. But that gets in your blood, doesn't it?
It does.
It's unbelievable how, I don't know, it gets
really
in your
does.
Blood.
From Annie, get your gun. There's no business like show business. But 50 years ago,
right.
It's funny how I actually got roped into the theater community. I've been an artist my whole life. I've always drawn and painted. I actually worked with a mural artist in Green Bay years ago. We painted a few murals in some of the buildings downtown.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Cool.
So I've always been pretty talented in that area. But because I've never fallen into one area and said, I'm just going to do this, I've sort of absorbed a lot of things in my life. And art has always been one of them. So when I got roped into the theater, it was my wife was working with someone in the theater, and they said, oh, we need people to do some painting. Your husband does painting? Get him over here. Well, next thing you know, I'm painting sets. And one of the directors said, yeah, I see you're a magician. You ever do any acting? I said, no, I've never actually been on stage. You'd be perfect for this. And I'm like, well, let's try it. And I auditioned for a show, and I've been in it ever since. That was 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
But I've worked with so many different theater troupes now, just painting. Like, almost every troupe in this area, I've painted a set at some point for them.
That's cool. Lyle said, it's more than just the person on the stage. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on.
It's like Lyle was saying, there's room for everybody in the theater. If you have even the slightest interest in it, you know, if you're not a painter or an actor, you can work backstage. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, do sound and lighting.
Right.
And there's just so many things that it takes a village. It really does to put on a show.
Sir?
And one of the really neat things, and going back to Giz's show with James and the Giant Peach, that's a young actor's show. So, you know, to your point, you've got these kids that are in these shows and their parents are bringing them and they're sitting there for rehearsal. And then pretty soon after a couple of years, you see the parents who had never really thought about being in a show. And then all of a sudden they start auditioning because their kids are in it. And it's really a neat progression.
And It's fun to be up there, but I just want to underscore just the family atmosphere that you bring to that. I just think any parent, you want your kid to be, you know, have fun and get out of their shell a little bit, but you also want the support and not riding the bench for 4 years.
Hey, quick brag like going on what Sarah just talked about, the kids. I directed a children's show, The Neverending Story. One of our little leads, we almost lost him to football because he was being pulled both ways, and he stuck with us and did it. He's on Broadway.
Wow.
With Josh Groban.
Kidding. Yeah.
Now that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can do it, kids.
Right?
Talk about an
opportunity. You know, everybody has those opportunities where you can go one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, and you I feel you have to embrace what you love. And
I'm with you.
And I also think that the life skills, you know, I think you can play, but you don't really play football when you're 35, you know, and it's just that theater, and you know, they can become lectors, and there's other things they can do with that talent. They could maybe even get into politics.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, unfortunately,
I wouldn't advise that. But I mean, but if you want to get up in front of people
the greatest mayor Green Bay ever had.
Okay, here you go, Gizmo. I'll buy tickets. So.
Here, give me.
You
the
know
money.
What? I gotta tell you something funny. The only thing I'm like, I've got a speaking thing in like an hour over at the courthouse, right. and different things, and another one in a couple of days, and you know, I enjoy. I don't get nervous. You know, you get that little
bit
whatever
flies.
But yeah, but what you always want, you know, so you're
absolutely
the only place where it's like my knees basically shake is in church. Oh. If I've had to give like eulogies or do a reading, it's almost like weird. Well, it's like that's the one place that still makes me nervous.
Yeah. I think there's a level of perfection that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. I stood there. You don't want to say anything. You don't want to screw it up. You're
right.
Silly. So it's,
yeah, it's got to
so
be
it's
perfect.
A little bit more. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I get that.
Growing
yeah,
up
absolutely.
Catholic, it was beating your head since you were a little kid that you were unworthy. So that's.
Yes. So let's all make sure Milo does our eulogy.
He still beats into my head every day that I'm not worthy. Yes, he does. I'm
but
not kidding.
I just think it's so great that. We have this opportunity in our community, and you know, and we like Daddy D's, we like Frank's, and but these high school plays, and then what you guys are doing with Evergreen, and really engaging the community, and then the kids to go see it. But then if they like it, try out,
get involved.
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
And I know I've said it before, but it is a sanctuary for me. You know, it's really that type of environment where everybody, as you said,
supportive,
you know, is very welcoming and supportive,
right.
and
yeah, that's what
you
I
know,
advise.
And everybody you know loves a good hug.
So. Do you know what? Do you know what his first role was on stage?
No.
Oh, the Music Man?
Mm.
Oh, and I guess, yes. I mean, I was young.
And you, what were you?
Tiny Tim.
Oh, nice.
I was Bob Cratchit more times than I want to count.
Okay, yes, I was on your shoulder.
Well, let's reenact this. We'll have you carry each other around for a while.
It ain't going to happen anymore.
Todd, you in?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
well,
like,
that was,
actually,
that was
so
Holy Redeemer.
I've been in A Christmas Carol like 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Oh,
I've played just about every character there is. But every year I still bring that show to assisted living facilities. I do a one-man show. I have somebody run my sound, and then I just read the story. It's a radio script version. It's like 40 minutes long. And I'm starting to incorporate old commercials into it, too. You know, like, you need to scrub your body. Like, you know, those old commercials. So I'm going to, and then I'm going to make this little thing to look like an old speaker. So it, or an old radio to cover my speaker. So it gives that old feel from like the 30s or something.
Nice.
Like that.
Now that's
a
cool one-man show.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like
it
a lot.
That's awesome. I just love, you know, this is new to me, this whole radio thing. We went on the air June 26th, but to elevate talent in our community, and you know, it's sometimes the TV doesn't cover this stuff, and if we can, like Gizmo said, if we can expose people to the talent and the opportunities in our community, I just want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I mean, it's good stuff, and Gizmo, you know, we always enjoy seeing you. You know?
Thank you very much. I always love seeing you guys. Yeah. You're so funny. You crack me up every morning.
Give me another audio magic trick.
What's 10,000 plus 1,200? It doesn't matter. You got the number in your head?
Okay,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now think of a color and a tool. You got one? Did you think of a red hammer?
No, a blue saw.
You had a red hammer? Thank you.
Funny.
Thank you very much.
Well, you guys, thank you guys so very much for being here. Best of luck.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Back with Aisha Morales right after this.
The tumblers, the clowns, the roustabouts that move the show at dawn. The music.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey. College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a four-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.